Just to be clear, I am not a part of the generation that grew up watching a short, balding, mischievous cartoon character named Pi-Pi. Wasn't a part of that generation. However, I did grow up watching a lot of the reruns, right? And so if you're my age or certainly older, you might be humming the tune to the cartoon right now in your head. And that's okay. We won't judge you for that. But Pi-Pi had this special girl in his life, and her name was? There we go. All right. Many people watching this famous cartoon. So whenever someone cramped the style of his special goyle, right, as he called her, his special goyle, he typically took it all in stride, right? He was typically the epitome of what we like to say calm, cool, and collected. He had a long fuse. But if things took on some type of threatening tone, if it looked like something really terrible might happen to his beloved olive oil, well then, Pi-Pi the sailor man, his pulse would raise and his blood pressure would skyrocket and his anger would boil. And when he took it just as long as he could, and his fuse burned up, those famous words came out of his mouth, right? "That's all I can stands. I can't stands no more." I don't know if I sounded like Pirates of the Caribbean right there or Pi-Pi, but I gave it my best shot. So as disciples of Jesus, think about this. What is it in your life that causes your blood pressure to skyrocket, your anger to boil just a little bit, your frustration to rise? Maybe it's a deep compassion for the poor or the homeless or the brokenhearted. Maybe you have this longing to bring peace to those who are suffering with various addictions or maybe mental illness or maybe grief. Maybe you have the gift of encouragement and you just long, your desire is to bring encouragement, joy, peace to the people's lives who maybe are celebrating. You want to increase their joy. Maybe they're hurting. You want to bring them comfort. Whatever that passion is, whatever that causes you frustration or heartache, can I ask you to do something with that this morning? I want you to ask God to use that spark to ignite a passion in your soul to fuel the fire of God's mission for the world. Because you know what? Truth be told, the most inspiring, motivating, and driven people that I know are disciples who know what that passion is. And they live for Jesus from a place of energy and excitement and commitment from that passion. They let that passion burn within them, and it fuels the fire in their soul for God's mission. And so instead of getting stuck in a place of frustration, instead of getting stuck in a place of anger or heartache, they allow that to be a motivating factor for them. And we look at people like that and we're like, man, they are active participants in God's mission. But so can you. You can be an active participant. And maybe even more significantly, disciples like this accept God's challenge in being his ambassadors to the world and being his witnesses. Because God says things like this to us. He says, if you'll join me, if you'll come and be my participant, if you'll accept my calling, my invitation, then I'm going to use you in that passion to do amazing, crazy things for me. I'm going to use you to make changes around here, changes in the hallways of your school. I will use you. Changes in the classrooms at your school or in your office at your school. I will use you in your passion to make some changes for my glory. As you walk the sidewalks of your neighborhoods and you pass by the streets and you pass by the homes, God says, will you join me in making some needed changes around here? Will you be my witness? Will you be my participant in your neighborhood? Your place of work, doesn't matter where you go. You might have a cubicle. You might have an office. You might work in a group. I don't know. You may work on the road. Doesn't matter, wherever you find yourself amongst others, will you join God to be his witness, to be his participant in those places? And some of us this morning need to be reminded, we need to make a recommitment that in the hallways of our homes, that in the rooms of our houses, God needs to reign there. And we need to make a recommitment for that passion to burn within us, for God to be over our home. You know, there's numerous examples in Scripture where God uses people's fiery passions to move forward his mission for his church and for the world. And some of my favorites are found in the book of Acts. If you have your Bible or a Bible app, we're going to spend a few moments in Acts chapter 9 this morning. I'd invite you to join me there. The author of Acts is Luke, and he gives a brief update about the church in Palestine, and he gives a detailed account of Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9 at the very beginning. But then he returns back to Peter. If you read the narrative of Acts, Peter's kind of the premier character for a while, and then he kind of disappears. And then Stephen is stoned, and the persecution of the church begins, and people begin to scatter. And Luke begins to focus on a few other disciples. But then he returns to Peter in the middle of Acts chapter 9. And apparently, Peter had decided to set out to visit several of these churches that had been planted, that had popped up as the persecution scattered the disciples. And his travels led him to a place called Lydda. It was a town about a dozen miles away from Joppa, another city, and that city will come back into play here in a minute. A body of believers lived there, and one of the disciples' names was Aeneas. Now, Aeneas, the text tells us, had been paralyzed for about 8 years. He had been bedridden for about 8 years. And when Peter shows up, he meets Aeneas and immediately heals him by the power of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, he heals him. Now, I don't know if you've ever lived in a small town, but when something extraordinary happens, news travels fast, right? Can I get an amen on that? Any small town people in here? Okay. News travels fast. If a man's been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years and suddenly he can walk, that's going to cause a little bit of a stir in a town, right? And that's exactly what happens. Many people start to see Aeneas as he's just walking around. Like, wait a minute, weren't you in bed yesterday, this morning? What happened to you? And so the power of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus begins to spread, and the number of disciples begins to grow. And I'm just telling you, as an evangelist, as a preacher, when that begins to happen, when the Spirit is tangibly moving and you see him convicting people in the heart and they're making the choice to follow Jesus, you want to stay. You want to be in the midst of that. You want to nurture that. You want to water that. You want to be a part of those new believers because their faith and their excitement about the Lord is just contagious, right? Well, unfortunately, Peter didn't get to do that. His stay in Lydda was cut short by an emergency call from the disciples in Joppa, again, about 12 miles away. And here's Luke's account of what happens next in Acts chapter 9. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him to come. Please come at once. So Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Now, let me respond to that text by asking us this question. What did the disciples in Joppa expect Peter to do when he arrived? What is it they expected him to do? She had already died. And so did they expect him to show up and comfort the grieving? To just pastor those who were hurting? Or maybe it was something more. Maybe they wanted a miracle. And in the text, we can't help but assume that that was the case because it says that they washed her body, but they did not prepare her body with spices or any other embalming practices that were common in that day. And so it appears that they were praying for and hoping for a miracle, that maybe Peter could raise Dorcas from the dead, much like Jesus did Lazarus. And I want to believe that their confident faith in this is rooted in Jesus, of course, but maybe their confidence, maybe their hope stems from the faithfulness of their sister Dorcas. And don't minimize her faith and her example amongst her church and her community. It's not hard to see what her fiery passion was, right? That fire within her. What was it that she loved to do more than anything? She loved to care for the poor and the brokenhearted. Dorcas seemed to be fueled by her passion to help them and to share God's love with them. And the widows, she used her God-given giftedness as a seamstress to make them clothing and who knows what else. And oftentimes, listen, oftentimes we tend to minimize our gifts. Do you do this? Well, my gift is more behind the scenes. It's not really up front or public. People don't really know about my gift, and so it's kind of a small contribution to the kingdom of... No. Don't do that. Every gift is needed for the good of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, look it up. Read that chapter. Doesn't matter if your gift is up in front or behind the scenes. If you give that gift to God, He will use it for His glory and for the good of the church. Let me tell you something. Dorcas was a seamstress, and she gave her talent to the Lord, and He used it in such a way that her good works lived on after her death. The women surrounded Peter, showing him the things that she had made them, and they're crying, and they're asking him, "Can't you do anything to bring her back to us?" Let me ask you this. Have we so dedicated our giftedness to the Lord that His name will be glorified in our death? That's exactly what she had done. Don't minimize your giftedness. Use it for the glory of God. One example of this among us is our prayer shawl ministry. Many of you are familiar with this because you've received a shawl or you've received a quilt from this ministry. Their main thing is they want to prayerfully provide grief support through homemade prayer shawls and quilts. And I'm just telling you that I've been the eyewitness of a few of these presentations. And just a few weeks ago, I had the blessing of witnessing another one. One of our dear sisters in Christ, Margie Miller, I know she wouldn't mind me telling you, she recently had cancer surgery and now she's going through chemo treatments and she covets our prayers. She's our sister that typically sits right over here. She wears a hat, right? And she's praising God, right? That's Sister Margie. You'll see her picture here. Well, there she is, right there in the middle. Maybe some of you recognize her. But it was a beautiful moment to witness. And what happens is they show up in our prayer room, which is right back here, and brothers and sisters in Christ who are a part of that ministry, some who have hand-stitched or crocheted these shawls or quilts, but then others who have just prayed over this person, and they present the shawl to them, and then we gather in the middle of the room, and we read Isaiah 61:3 over them. The women from prayer shawl do this. And then we lay our hands on that person and we pray over them. And I can't tell you Margie's response to that. There's no words to add, but she just kept repeating, "Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord." This ministry reminds me much, right, of what Dorcas did for her church and her community. And many of you may be thinking, well, I want to participate in the mission of God, but I can't crochet and I certainly can't knit. I can't sew, right? So I can't do any of those things, right? But here's the thing. You don't have to know how to crochet or knit. Even to be involved in prayer shawl, you don't have to know how to do those things. Just get with Jan Hodge, the ministry leader, and ask for a list of the people that they're considering giving a shawl to and pray for those people. There are ways to be creative, to be involved in the mission of God in this place and beyond. No matter your gender, no matter your age, no matter your gift set, be creative and God will use you for His glory. Okay, I want you to do something with me. I want you to raise your hand if you've ever received a birthday card that is signed on behalf of your Alta Mesa family. It looks kind of like this next slide. There it is. You ever received one of these? Okay, everybody, look around. This is not by mistake. Look at all the hands that just went up. Listen, if you're a member at Alta Mesa and you have given it, here's the other kicker, if you've given us your birthday, it's on My Alta Mesa, our online database. And use this tool. Be a part of this. Wish people happy birthday on social media. Send them an email. Give them a call, whatever. It makes people feel special, right? When you get a handwritten birthday card, I'm just here to tell you, she's really humble, and she signs on behalf of Alta Mesa, but really, you've received that birthday card from Betty Billingsley. Here's her picture. If you don't know Miss Betty, she's the reason you got that handwritten birthday card. And I don't know about you, but when I get that card, there's just this overflow of emotion that 92 years young took the time to write me a note saying happy birthday and we love you. How does that make you feel? Valued? Honored? Loved? Like you're a part of a church family that thinks of you? Yeah. And let me tell you something, Miss Betty doesn't hide behind her age, though she could. She doesn't hide behind the fact that I have the gift of encouragement. Well, that I'm 92. There's really no way that I can use that. No. There is a way that she can use that. Oh, and by the way, she's legally blind. But she still handwrites the notes and has her daughter proofread them for us. Isn't that beautiful? So I don't want to hear our excuses about, I don't know what to do, there's nothing, my giftedness is this or that. No, be creative. God wants to use you for His glory. Choose today to be a participant, to be involved in some way. Find a ministry to get plugged into. But men, let me speak specifically. On Tuesday mornings, there's a Bible study that meets here. And I know that Willie Bowdry and David Gideons, one of our shepherds, are greatly involved in making that group work. And it's men of all ages that meet. And I know that they eat together, they bring their breakfast, but then they dive into the Word. And so if that's something that you would like to do, I know they would love to have you on Tuesday mornings. They meet here at the building. And then just any journey group, for that matter, single, married, single again. We have journey groups, any life stage available for you. We want you to be involved in community. But guys, something else I want to encourage you to do, and you're going to love me for this, but we're going to have a work day on Saturday, September 22nd. We have over 100 trees on our campus, and they all look awful, all right? We want to make them look better, all right? So we need saws. We're going to have a chipper here, so we get to put the branches that we cut into the chipper and turn them into mulch for our gardening ministry, all right? So it's going to be a lot of fun, but it's going to be hard work. But here's what happens, guys, and ladies, you're welcome to join us. Please join us. Bring your saw. It'll be fun. But guys, here's what happens. When we work with each other, when we sweat and work hard, we get to know each other better. We're in community with each other. We'll share lunch that day. It'll be great. But just that time together, We'll spend time getting to know each other a little bit, and hopefully relationships will be deepened there. So sign up and be a part of that work day. The closing of the message is simple. Ask God to ignite that passion within you. What is that fiery passion within you? Ask God today to use that to fuel the fire of His mission for His church and for the sake of the world. If you'll do that, He'll point you in the right direction. Let me pray for us. God, we love You and we are grateful for who You are and what You've done to redeem us, to restore us, to set us free. God, it was so good to be here today to worship You. We pray that You were honored and glorified. And God, I just pray that each one here today will leave here filled with Your Spirit, ready to be a participant in Your mission. God, open our eyes to see and our ears to hear how You want to use us. We commit to You today the gifts that You've given to us for Your glory. We commit those to You. We lay them at Your feet, and we ask You to ignite that fire within us so that we can join You in fueling the fire of Your mission. What an honor. What an honor it is to join You. We love You. In the name of Jesus. Amen.